You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hena Baba. The idea of robots taking over our jobs has been part of our popular culture for decades.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cat. Where can I take you tonight?
Drive! Drive!
Would you please repeat the destination?
Oh, anywhere, just go! Go!
Please state a street and number.
And it's generally true. As we advance, machines increasingly do the work that people used to do. But at what rate is that happening today in the Bay Area? And are we at risk for losing jobs en masse, in the millions, for example, because of artificial intelligence? Well, San Jose Mercury News reporter Leonardo Castañeda says maybe not. He investigated that question in his latest article. It's called Why Robots Won't Kill the Bay Area's Job Growth. He joined me in studio to explain. Your article, Why Robots Won't Kill the Bay Area's Job Growth. It feels like you're answering a question or an anxiety with that headline. Just tell me about why that headline. What did you want to do with it?
Absolutely. I think when we think about automation and robot workers, we immediately think like mass layoffs. You know, they're coming for our jobs and we're all going to be out of it because, you know, who can compete with a robot?
Mm-hmm.
So what, you know, we wanted to address that and say there's, you know, that is really not the concern that a lot of researchers are most worried about. They're worried about another concern that I think is just as serious as mass unemployment, which is income inequality, which is this idea of the people who own those robots are going to be making a lot more money than they are now, potentially.
And that is the danger that people
exactly.
should be.
That is the danger yeah. because, you know, we know that there's a lot of societal issues that come with income inequality. There's a lot of issues of, you know, discontent, people feeling like they don't have, you know, ways to afford their home or they don't have the wages that they need to live, you know, happy, comfortable life, while there's some who are, you know, controlling more and more of the income and
mm-hmm.
of the money.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about a study from the McKinsey Global Institute. Tell us about that.
A lot of the times studies that look at automation just say, well, you know, food prep. We can automate food prep, so all the food prep jobs are going to be gone. What this really did is say, well, you know, they're going to be somewhat gone. You're still going to need some people because only certain tasks can be automated.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to, you know, say you had 10 chefs and now you only need 5 because robots are helping out. Well, what happens to those 5 people? Do they just become unemployed? Do they become the person that, you know, manages the robot and the person who is making sure the robot learns new dishes mm-hmm. as you, you know, update your menu? And what, you know, what are the potential paths? Because I think right now we're at a point where automation can really go a bunch of different ways. Mm-hmm. I think the study finds, you know, there's one way where those chefs become, you know, because they have all this free time now, they can invent new dishes that they never would have had time to come up with. And some of them are going to become engineers because they're going to be so excited about this cooking robot that they're going to build their own robots. And I think that's one future where, you know, that the wealth and the benefits of those robots are kind of shared across the worker spectrum, the income spectrum. There's also a different future that is, you know, the companies that own the robot are making the wages of those 5 cooks, those 5 chefs, and, you know, those people find another less paying job as, you know, the person who oils up the robot and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really interesting is that this really broke down where are the industries that we're going to see is and what could happen to those folks.
Okay, so we live in an area where tech is big. So how is this going to impact Bay Area industry?
Whichever path automation takes, the Bay Area overall is going to be fine. I think the question is, who in the Bay Area is going to be the most fine?
And the answer is?
I think that's to be determined. I think there is a path where, you know, the tech folks and the people building the automation are the only ones who benefit. I think there's also a path that some of these researchers see where, you know, that wealth is more evenly spread.
So if we talk about demographics, why are Hispanics and African Americans at risk of losing jobs because of artificial intelligence?
The reason is pretty straightforward. Hispanics, African Americans historically haven't had the same access to education than white folks have and, you know, and other folks. So when we talk about automation, it's primarily going to affect those lower skill jobs, like food prep, that don't necessarily require a bachelor's degree that for a long time could be, you know, well-paying middle-class jobs and you could raise a family as a chef. Those jobs are the most at risk, and because, you know, African-Americans and Hispanics are more concentrated in those industries, they're the ones who right now are facing the highest risks of, you know, losing their jobs or at least having their jobs, you know, significantly cut back.
And so is there an education part to this on behalf of companies? What are they doing?
Companies, I think, are definitely a big part of this. Automation Anywhere, who I talked to, they have what they call their university, where their people can go and learn how to be the people who are creating the programs that are automating those tasks. Because at the end of the day, I mean, if you're, you know, spending 8 hours a day filing paperwork, it would probably be a lot more fun and more interesting to be the person who's solving these really complex problems about, okay, how do I automate this paperwork and how do I make this more efficient? So part of that is those companies working to make those employees be the people who are solving these issues mm-hmm. and who are thinking critically about their jobs.
So that takes training, and training takes money.
Exactly.
What about that? What have you seen in terms of the plan? Like, these are ideas, but how will this happen?
I think that's a big part of it. And that is the question right now. I think they are ideas. You know, Automation Anywhere has a university, but it's also up to the companies who are implementing this to offer that training to their employees. And I don't think there's anyone out there who's really built a model for how you train workers. You know, we've seen similar situations with, like, trade, with where certain jobs that were really popular here, like textile manufacturing, move away to other countries. What happens to those workers? And I don't think we have the best track record of retraining those folks to take on new, good-paying jobs. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's not something we've really addressed or solved completely yet.
What does it look like we will see sooner rather than later? You have the image that you have as a part of this article is a coffee machine, a robot barista at Cafe X in San Francisco. So did you get some coffee from that guy?
I have gotten some coffee from them. It's, you know, it's pretty good. It's a solid cup of coffee.
Yeah, but what about the experience?
That's interesting. And, you know, when I've talked to them in the past for previous stories, they're very aware of that because they actually have someone who's out there and talks you through how to use the iPad because they know that you don't want a purely, you know, kind of anonymous experience. You want to chat with someone while you're waiting for your coffee. And the robot will actually do a little dance when it finishes your coffee.
It does a dance?
It does a dance. Because, you know, no one wants to just interact purely with a machine. And I think you actually really hit it on the nail because it's not that we're going to see, you know, baristas everywhere disappear. I don't think we're going to see the kind of, like, mass industry disappearance that we expected. I think what we are going to see is a lot of these automations will be so small that, you know, the industry that will be most automated will be all of them. I think, you know, it's going to be hard to find a job. I mean, and think about it today, you know.
Because you said automation could eliminate 907,000 Bay Area jobs by 2030.
Right.
So that's scary.
That is scary. But think about it this way. You know, most places don't have a mailroom anymore. You know, they still get mail, but, you know, maybe it's the person who's also the custodian or the person who is also, you know, the receptionist, they also handle that because the volume of mail has come down because at the end of the day, email is just automating mm-hmm. a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's that we don't really notice it until it's gone. So I think there's going to be a lot of kind of small, you know, death by a thousand cuts, if you will. It doesn't necessarily have to be a death. It can be, you know, that's freeing up those folks to do more interesting stuff. But at the end of the day, it's kind of throughout the economy. It's every little job can be automated a little bit.
That was reporter Leonardo Castañeda of the San Jose Mercury News. His article is called Why Robots Won't Kill the Bay Area's Job Growth. We've got a link to it at kalw.org.